Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And tonight we're going to be talking about persecution again and how you answer persecution. This is episode 3 of Answering Persecution. In episode 1, we talked about what is persecution. We talked about what a true martyr is. And we talked about different ways that people respond to persecution. In episode 2, we told the story of Polycarp. We talked about Stephen and James and their persecutions. So, I want to read y'all a story. Well, some set statistics and then a true martyr story. Since the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago, 43 million Christians have become martyrs. Over 50% of these were in the last century alone. More than 200 million Christians face persecution each day. 60% of those are children. Every day, over 300 people, this is each day, over 300 people are killed for their faith in Jesus. That's from the World Evangelical Encyclopedia. That's kind of shocking. Okay. Nishizaka Hill is the place in Nagasaki, Japan, where the 26 Catholic martyrs were executed on February 15, 1597. 400 years ago, they went to their deaths. Actually, it's more than, yeah, this was probably written in 1997. So about 423 years ago, they went to their death singing Psalm 113. Paul Miki was preaching. Contrary to Toyotomi Hideyoshi, I'm not very good at pronouncing these, y'all, the ruler of Japan's expectation, the Christian's faith was strengthened. Amongst them was a young boy, Thomas Kasaki, who was crucified for being a Christian with his father. He wrote to his mother a letter while on his way to martyrdom. Mother, we are supposed to be crucified tomorrow in Nagasaki. Please do not worry about anything because we will be waiting for you to come to heaven. Everything in the world vanishes like a dream. Be sure that you never lose the happiness of heaven. Be patient and show love to many people. Most of all, about my little brothers, Mancho and Filippo, please see to it that they are not delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Mother, I commit you to the Lord. What a witness in the face of terrible persecution. But Thomas Kasaki had built his life on a firm foundation. Today, there's a church, a monument, and a plaque on that site. My main purpose in doing this series on answering persecution is to help you think about how you will answer persecution. And when we get to the end of it, I'm going to tell you what I've come up with so far that's going to be my answer, if that helps you any. Give you some ideas, maybe. I don't know. But I want you to think about it because it's extremely, extremely important. Okay. Hold fast in this time to your faith above all else. Nothing is more important than continuing to believe, because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Okay? We have to hold on to our faith, because Ephesians 2:8 says, "It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So to stay saved, we must hold fast to our faith. If we truly believe, we cannot deny what we believe in, because we know it's the truth. I was reading in Proverbs recently, and one of the study Bible notes caught my eye. It said, when one is afraid of something, they either run from it or they submit to it. And it reminded me of James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Persecution is hostility and ill treatment meant to make us flee. We are to submit to God and resist what the devil is doing, which is trying to make us submit to him, and the Lord will make him flee. When a person is afraid of something, he either runs from it or submits to it. You need to decide ahead of time how you're going to respond to persecution. Persecution against us for believing in Jesus will increase more and more as we move deeper into the end of days. This is not a maybe, this is a for sure, okay? It's been increasing for some time now. You know, we always want to believe that because we love the Lord that we would never deny him, but in the face of persecution and the threat of harm, or worse, I suspect we will be greatly tempted to do a lot of things we would not otherwise do. Can I just say that? Because we are humans. Peter did. And Peter wrote two books of the New Testament that we still study over 2,000 years later. Y'all, if Peter can deny Jesus, we certainly could do it. Especially us in America who are used to comfort and convenience and no persecution. I'm just saying. Let's keep it real, all right? So we're going to read the story about Peter as a reminder, all right? It's found in Matthew 26. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. They all said it because they all believed it, y'all. Of course you believe it. We believe it, and we haven't even met Jesus in person. Then comes Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. And he took Peter with him when he went to pray. He was one of the three men he took with him. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I would too if I knew what I was going to have to go through, what he went through. How could you not? Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And this was all the night before. I want to read you some other scriptures too. Matthew 5, 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Some of you have already started experiencing persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly, I'm so tongue-tied tonight, y'all, I'm so sorry. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, we think of persecution as something extraordinary, but Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out that they would be persecuted in Matthew 10. So Jesus told the disciples they were going forth into danger, that they would be like sheep among wolves, and to stay aware, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. He told them people would hand them over to authorities, and then in the time coming, even some of their own family members may deliver them up to be killed. I believe with all my heart he was talking about our time. Jesus told his disciples, and I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't apply to other times because it does. Jesus told his disciples to endure the persecution and not surrender their faith, and salvation would be given to them. Like us, the disciples were not just disliked for serving Jesus, they were hated for it. In the wake of great danger, Jesus advised the disciples to flee to a safe place. The disciples were not greater than their master, and they could not expect to be treated any better than him. So for them, persecution was unavoidable. Jesus was falsely accused of doing the work of the devil, so his disciples also would be accused by association. Jesus told the disciples not to fear, but to proclaim the gospel in the face of this persecution, because God's truth would be revealed. You know, Jesus said that even family members would hate us for our faith, and he warned that, you know, because of him, we might at times be despised. In John chapter 7, it talks about Jesus' brother's disbelief. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here, go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time is not yet fully come." When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. So if you too have been rejected by family members for your beliefs, you're in good company, hey? And by the way, I also went through some of that early in my walk, and almost every member of my family now believes. We have a few stragglers out there, but we're all tag teaming them, so honestly, they don't stand a chance. Jesus never downplayed the cost of following him. We live in a brazenly evil world that hates the name of Jesus, for whose name we also will be hated. Those who oppose Christ will despise those who follow him. They are like wolves, wanting to devour and destroy all that represents Jesus. We must be harmless and peaceful. We know their relentless hate has led to the bombing of churches, the terrorizing and slaughtering of Christians in many countries, China, the Middle East, Africa. In the U.S., evil has risen up against prayer in Jesus' name, against simple Bible studies at people's homes, forbidding military members from sharing their faith, the court-ordered removal of statues, paintings of Christ, the Ten Commandments, and even covered crosses on churches, as well as at political events. Jesus continues to face accusations. Modern-day persecutors deny his divinity, which is the same as calling him a liar. If our Lord is called liar, then we can expect that as his servants, we will also be called liars. The sword Christ brought to the world continues to divide. We who accept his sacrifice and believe in him from those who reject him in favor of sin and a worldly lifestyle. The people are different, but the spirit behind persecution is the same. In the midst of these events, we as Christians cannot abandon the gospel or deny him. He must increase and we must decrease. We must continue to witness that those who are lost have a chance to believe. He wills that we follow his example of being bold but blameless. We must set our hearts to endure and not fear the persecution of men, but fear the judgment of God. There can be no compromise in this battle. John chapter 15, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So what are some different ways that people answer persecution? We talked about this some last time. Well, they may deny Jesus, which is the whole goal of Satan sending persecution, is to try to get you to denounce your faith, to denounce him, to denounce your belief in Christ. And Peter did that, but he got it right in the end, y'all. He came back from that. Paul and Silas, when they were persecuted, thrown into prison, They sang praises in the middle of the night to bring light into a dark prison. All the other prisoners heard them. What a witness that must have been. The young man in a linen cloth near Jesus ran away naked when persecution showed up. Mark 14. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching you. You did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. A lot of people will run away when persecution comes, and I'm sure that's what you want to do. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And I don't think his physical nakedness was nearly as much a problem as his spiritual nakedness. He was trying to learn about Jesus, and then when persecution showed up, his learning was cut short. And when he saw the disciples make a run for it, hey, he ran too. He's like, okay, if they're leaving, I'm leaving. Jesus, in the face of persecution, was both bold about the truth and blameless in his speech and his behavior. He did not even cry out when they physically persecuted him. We've talked about only a few of the martyrs throughout history. What will our response be to persecution in this hour? You know, a lot of people don't want to accept they're going to be persecuted, or that the time is even this late. I think I told y'all that a few months back. I received emails, two of them, like within the same 24-hour period, from different women just rebuking me horribly. These long, rambling emails rebuking me because I dared to post a word saying that it was from the Lord, saying he was going to destroy America. You know what? That's what he said. Hey, I'm just quoting the source. Oh, they were so mad at me. And they said, well, this prophet and that prophet and blah, 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 and whatever. And they quoted a bunch of fluff to me. And I'm like, you can believe whatever you want to believe, sister. If you're not interested in the truth, you probably won't be wanting to follow JPH for very long, because we try to stick to the truth. Okay, now, so will you accept that most likely you're going to be persecuted and possibly even be martyred and prepare? Or, you know, when it happens, will you fight back? Will you fight against God? Would you really think you were going to win that fight? Because I don't think you would win it. Or are you just going to sit there and be in denial that anything bad's going to happen and not get ready? I mean, it's up to y'all. Y'all can do whatever you want. I personally like to plan for things. That's just me. Okay, I forgot where I found this list online. I found it somewhere when I was doing my research. It may have been on Voice of the Martyrs or one of the martyr sites. This is a list, or it may have been Wikipedia, I don't know. This is a list of the people who were persecuted in the Bible in a short description of what happened. I think it's really interesting. It might be a complete list or it might not, I don't know. But anyway, it's informative. Okay, Joseph. As a child, Joseph is thrown down a well, exported to a foreign land, sold into slavery, falsely accused of rape, and forgotten in prison. All of this lasts for 17 years, and the unspoken question in all this is, where is God? Why is he letting this happen? If Job taught that God will reward faithfulness, Joseph's story shows that God will use the specific details of our suffering to redeem his people. The administrative gifts and cultural awareness Joseph develops while in prison become vital to God, using him to feed the Hebrew people during a famine. David. King Saul pursued him, threatened his life, and on several occasions tried to kill him out of jealousy. And as a result of God's choosing David, to be the next anointed king. Elijah. Both Ahab and Jezebel threatened his life and pursued him, all because he exposed their sin and proclaimed the word of God. That's in 1 Kings 19. Micaiah. This prophet declared to the kings of Israel and Judah the word of the Lord and was then arrested and imprisoned for it. Hanani. He prophesied to King Asa and was imprisoned for it. Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, for prophesying about the sin of Judah, he was attacked in the temple courtyard and stoned to death. Uriah, this is not the Uriah of David and Bathsheba. Uriah, during the time of Jeremiah, there was a prophet who spoke the word of the Lord against Jehoiakim, king of Judah. The king threatened his life, so he fled to Egypt. Jehoiakim had him captured and brought back to Jerusalem, where he was executed. That's in Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, prompted by a God-given fire shut up in his bones, is compelled to speak truth to a corrupt religious culture around him. In exchange, Jeremiah is rejected, mocked, put in stocks, and thrown down a well. His story is the story of millions of faithful Christians throughout the years who have lost everything for faithfully speaking the message of Jesus. But the lesson of Jeremiah's persecution goes one step further. In chapter 20 of his book, Jeremiah accuses God of having basically forced himself on Jeremiah. He got angry at God, y'all. That he was deceived, seduced, and taken advantage of. The original language is shockingly brutal. So there's another way you can respond to persecution. You can become angry at God. And some people do. John the Baptist spoke truth to power, calling out the king for immorality, and because of this boldness, rotted in prison, questioned whether Jesus was truly the Messiah, then was decapitated when the king promised his stepdaughter any request after she danced seductively for him and his friends. If you read this story on the Open Doors site, that's where this list came from, the Open Doors site, and that was the end, you would think it was a horrible, senseless tragedy. And yet that's not how we look at John the Baptist's life at all. We think of him as one of the great heroes of faith who paved the way for Jesus himself. Sometimes the story of the persecuted ends tragically, but that does not mean they are not pointing the way to Jesus. Sometimes it takes time for us to see how God works all things together for good. Jesus. We are told that when God became flesh, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus was rejected by members of his own family, endured the shame of his hometown community who gossiped about his, quote, illegitimacy, was hated by the religious leaders of his day, betrayed by friends, falsely accused, beaten, and then tortured to death. And again, this was the pain of the incarnate God, one he chose and willingly endured. What a beautiful message for our persecuted family around the world to remember that whatever path of suffering they are walking, the footsteps of their Savior go before them, leading them on, and that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is also there with them, encouraging them, giving them strength, saying, hey, me too. And what a powerful message for those of us blessed to live a life of relative comfort to remember as well, the path of Jesus is a path of suffering and sacrifice. We may think of persecution as extraordinary, y'all, but if you look at the Bible, it clearly shows suffering to be a regular, normal part of life. There is a mistaken belief. I talked about this in the last episode. I think there is a very mistaken belief that if you are a Christian, nothing bad should ever happen to you. There's another mistaken belief that if you try to do everything right, the right thing should always happen to you. That would be awesome if that was the case. That is not the case. That's not the case, y'all. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We should not be surprised by suffering. We need to learn to endure suffering without compromising our integrity. We have to learn to love our persecutors and pray for their welfare. And yeah, we may choke on those prayers or say them through gritted teeth. It's pretty hard to do because you're human. But we have to just keep trying. And I'm not real good at that, okay? I'm not real good at that bless your enemies thing. I'm still working on that one, okay? In Texas, that's just not the way we did it, okay? It will help us to learn and to remember as this time progresses. Number one, we cannot take revenge. Revenge is his. And no matter what happens to you or who does you wrong, can I just tell you, We serve a God of recompense. He is never mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So anything somebody does to you, they better buckle their seatbelt, because our daddy's coming for them. I am not even kidding you. We have to trust him when we are suffering and continue to do good, continue to bear fruit, continue to witness. We need to remember that we suffer too, so we can be a comfort to others who suffer. And no matter what, we have to keep our eyes on him. We should do our best to rejoice. I have failed at this more times than I can possibly count, but I find that it gets easier the closer we get to going home. Just remember, you're making him proud when you do the right thing. And we need to remember that when we are persecuted, when we are harmed for what we believe, we share in his sufferings. That is such a great honor that we can have anything that we did like him, anything at all, even the smallest thing, because you can lay that at his feet in heaven. We don't rejoice in the suffering because we enjoy pain, but because Jesus is so worthy that we delight in being identified with him in any way. All suffering down here is temporary. It's not worth even comparing to the glory that awaits us in heaven. In that place of glory, all pain and all suffering will be gone forever, y'all. It'll be behind us. I cannot wait. I want to talk for a minute about some of the results of persecution. Persecution will make some people afraid to even speak up, okay? Persecution makes you choose. It makes you take a side. And when you choose a side, you will commit to that side. Okay? You will commit to what you believe and stand on that side. Since obviously it is easier not to suffer persecution, lukewarm believers will fall from the faith during times of intense persecution, and they will fall pretty fast because they're not going to stand up for something they don't really believe in. All right? And people who are just pew warmers who just go to church every Sunday for fire insurance, and by the way, that's not fire insurance, just so you know that, they won't even make it. I mean, it'll be terrible. They don't have to worry about denying Christ because they don't know him enough to deny him. They'll deny him straight up for that bowl of porridge. Can I just tell you that? Perry Stone had a vision or a dream vision, I can't remember which, in 1982. He recently came across this paperwork, and he did a teaching talking about it. He did a video talking about it. And the Lord told him, if you're given a choice, always choose the door of persecution. And I thought, why would you, I'm thinking, why would you ever choose persecution? And as it went on, he was looking at like a room with like a hallway with some different doors or something like that. He heard, "Blessed are those who are skilled with the sword." That's the word of God, y'all. "For they shall overcome." Hello, come on, y'all. He's been telling us to get the word, hadn't he? "So there will be some who will overcome even while being persecuted and go on to witness to even more unbelievers." We need to remember in this time, instead of saying, "Why me?" when the persecution arises against us, we should be saying, "Why not me?" especially to persecution, because persecution is actually a sign of a real belief. Can I just tell you that? They don't persecute people whose lives hold no evidence that they believe in Jesus. Think about it. In fact, if all the believers you know are suddenly getting persecuted and the persecutors are leaving you alone, you should really be scared. I would be scared if that happened. Because that means there wasn't enough evidence of your faith for them to even bother with you. Can I just tell you that? Please hear me on this. In a way, we should hope we are persecuted, because if there's faith in our, if there's evidence of our faith in our life, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. If you're not persecuted, if they leave you alone, y'all, come on, let's face it. When Christianity becomes a crime, because it's going to become a crime and it's not very far off, when Christianity becomes a crime, people who are lukewarm and people who are pew warmers don't have a thing to worry about, because there won't be enough evidence in their life to convict them, and woe to them when Jesus comes back. I'm just saying. Just because we are Christians who love the Lord, who try to do everything right, who go to church on Sundays and always pay our tithes, does not mean nothing bad will ever happen to us. In fact, it actually guarantees Satan will always be hot on our heels in pursuit, watching for his chance to land a direct hit if we slip up even a little bit. It guarantees we will be persecuted, that we will be pursued with the intent to do us harm. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And don't kid yourself, Satan knows who really believes and who don't. And another thing we should remember is persecution does not mean the Lord does not love us. He has warned us in his word that the world would hate us. And it does. In this time when it is so common for people to call evil good and good evil, the question is not, will we suffer persecution? The question is, how will we answer when we are persecuted? The question is, what will happen to our faith when we are persecuted? This is what I want y'all thinking about. Please think about this ahead of time. Please don't wait till the last minute. No matter how ugly the circumstances that you have to face, it is always going to be easier if you have a plan of some kind. So, will you be in denial? Will you deny Jesus to save your temporary hide another day or to get a bowl of porridge? Will you put up a fight? Do you really think you can win that? I mean, you can try. Will you praise God in spite of the persecution? Will we be like Stephen and glorify God with our praises and our words while praying for our persecutors? I pray to have that kind of courage, y'all. Will we remember to ask the Lord to forgive our attackers, knowing that without Jesus, they have no earthly idea what they're doing, what destruction they are bringing down in their own heads? Remember, Paul used to kill Christians. And when he became a Christian and went around teaching, I think he was probably, there's one chapter in the Bible that talks about all the different things he went through. And it sounds like he went through quite a bit more than the others. And it was because he was reaping what he sowed. That's what I think. Will we be faithful like Job? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. That's Job 13:15. Or will we run from it? If you run like the young man in the linen cloth, where do you think you're going to go? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are you going to run to? There is no place to run but to the rock of your salvation. We have looked at some very well-known victims of extreme persecution in the Bible. Let's remember that we are no better than them. They were not exempted from it, and it is likely we won't be either. So how will you answer? I'm going to tell you how I plan to answer. This is my plan. And we always have a plan. Plans can change, but this is my plan. Because I've been working on this. Number one, if I am imprisoned, I'm going to preach the gospel and glorify my God to everybody around me. Number two, if I am standing somewhere in line waiting to be killed in public, I will preach the gospel and glorify my God to everyone around me. And notice that I will preach because I cannot hold a tune to sing. Although that might be a fun way to aggravate my persecutors with singing off key. We'd always do that. Number three, and this is something I'm asking the Lord for. My viewpoint is this. A lot of people have had visions of guillotines in these times. My viewpoint is, if I end up being martyred, I am asking him to, number one, and I've been asking for this for 20 years, save whoever kills me. And if I am beheaded, I want my dead body to pick up my severed head and follow the people around who killed me, giving them words of knowledge, prophesying to them, and preaching a sermon to them that they need to get saved and have Jesus. I'm just saying, that's my plan. I'm going to keep believing for that, y'all. I'm going to keep believing for this right here. And I'm going to believe for the courage to do the other things. I'm going to believe for that. I figure if I preach the gospel to people, they'll kill me faster and we can get it over with and I can go on to heaven. Even the most difficult of circumstances is easier to face if you have a plan. At least then you have some idea of what you're going to do. On the other hand, you know, Jesus said when you're taken up before the authorities, don't worry about what you'll say because, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you the words in that time. So he'll give me the words to preach. So, hey, want to pray before I close this. Precious King Jesus, we honor your holy name today. Lord God, your people desire to honor you in all we do. We know persecution is on the rise, and you have told us in these end times you will not always be able to answer our prayers to make something unpleasant stop, because everything has to be fulfilled so you can come back and get us. Lord God, we ask you to help us to be bold witnesses who walk blameless before you in this time. We ask you would strengthen us with your mighty strength and courage to face whatever comes in the sure knowledge of you and without denying you, and in a way that witnesses to all those who see or hear of our persecution. May you touch those who persecute us with your great love while helping us to walk in it. Help us, Lord, to endure to the end so we can spend eternity in heaven with you. May our soft answer be amen and hallelujah to the Lamb of God, now and always. We pray in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. I hope this has been a help to y'all. I may do some more episodes on persecution, not necessarily part of this series, but just to share some more stories and different things that I found. Did a lot of research on this. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.